Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
If you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to rate and review.
Seven Lamb Productions presents to you End of All Hope. Season 3, Episode 3, The Fight Continues.
Another day had passed, and travel was slow. Every town we drove through had been demolished. Streets were broken or blocked with stalled vehicles. Sometimes Mark would jump off the road and drive over dirt and rock to reach smaller gravel roads.
I think we're in New Mexico now.
One state closer. Every day we would hear strange noises in the sky, but we hadn't spotted another ship.
It's so eerie. There's no people. There's no aliens.
Yeah. As the sun was setting, we passed through Carson National Forest. The sign for it was pocked with bullet holes. I watched the quickly passing trees until I noticed the color changing. They weren't a dark green and brown. They were becoming a bright bluish green. Mark.
I see it.
Mark slowed the truck.
Is this what you saw on the highway?
No, not this. This is different. Look at the growth. The plant-like substance covered every tree. Weird mushrooms and vines spread across the vast forest. Oh, man.
Let's find a place to rest for the night. Maybe a place that's not covered in that crap.
Okay. An hour later, we were able to jump on an intersecting highway that took us out of the national forest. There was a small river ahead. Mark pulled the truck onto a small dirt path and drove to a small riverbed.
Let me make sure it's safe.
Mark, will you stop? You don't always have to be Mark Averon, protector against evil.
My leg is feeling better.
Is it, or are you just being stubborn?
It is.
Well, there's no reason to aggravate it. I climbed out of the truck, and Mark did the same. We searched the small area under the bridge along the riverbed. Mark moved slowly, trying not to put too much pressure on his leg. All we found under the bridge were some empty food cans and a flashlight that no longer worked. We have batteries.
Take it. It wouldn't hurt to have another.
I put the flashlight in my waistband.
I think we're okay right now, but let's stay by the truck.
Actually, I'm going to go get some water.
From the river?
Yeah, Mark. We may not always have a chance to refill our supply. We might as well take advantage.
I know, but that stuff, we don't know if it's spread into the water.
We also don't know if it's releasing spores into the air.
I don't trust it.
Mark was right. We would need to clean the water. We don't have a water filter, but we could boil it.
It's been a while since I've made a fire.
Calm down, Boy Scout. We have matches. No need to smack two rocks together.
Oh, that's right. Well, let's do this quickly before it gets really dark.
Mark was worried a fire would attract creatures at night. I quickly grabbed an empty jug from the truck and went down to the river. Mark made a small fire by the truck. He was adding sticks to it.
Here.
We had a small metal bowl that I had acquired from the highway jam. I poured a third of the jug into the bowl. Mark placed a wrench and a tire iron on top of some rocks, which allowed us to set the bowl over the small fire. We let it sit there and boil for 15 minutes. We then removed the bowl and let it cool. Let me see if I can find something else for the water to sit in. But I couldn't find anything. As the sun went down, we stayed by the truck and boiled water. It took a long time since we not only had to wait for it to boil, but for it to also cool. We couldn't pour boiling water into a plastic jug.
You know, of all the times we've been camping together, we've never had to do this.
Because our camping wasn't about survival. I don't think we've ever come close to running out of supplies.
I remember once my dad took me camping up in North Sierra National Forest. He wanted to show me the Mono Hot Springs. I think I was 12. He wanted to be this rugged adventure, you know, show me what it was really like to be in nature. I mean, and this was all before phones and the term glamping.
Glamping?
Luxurious camping.
Never heard of that before.
My dad said we were going to go into the wilderness and really experience it. No air mattresses, no portable fans, no pocket games, just us and nature.
How did 12-year-old Mark enjoy that?
Oh, I loved it. Although, we got lost and almost ran out of supplies.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We diverted off some nature trail. I mean, not on purpose, mind you. It was raining, and my dad didn't want to admit that he'd taken a wrong turn. Luckily for us, we ended up hitting another nature trail. The whole time, my dad was joking that he meant to do it. It was a lesson for me to learn and not to panic. But trust me, I saw the worry in his eyes.
How long were you guys lost?
2 days. When we got back home, Mom was worried, but Dad told her we had so much fun that we wanted to stay out there a little longer.
He never told her?
No, and neither did I.
Well, that's an experience.
I don't know what we would have done if we didn't come across another trail. I mean, for all we know, we were walking in circles. But that was the trip that made me fall in love with the woods. Made me love nature.
You and your dad ever do any more trips like that?
A few more times, but we never got lost again. Dad made sure of that.
The current bowl had boiled for nearly 20 minutes. We set it aside, added more sticks to the fire, and waited for the bowl to cool.
Ava, why didn't you ever tell me about your father?
What?
You said what you told that girl Melissa was true. How come you never talked about that with me?
Not something I ever gave much thought. Once I cut him from my life, I just decided it wasn't worth it to give him any more thought.
Oh.
I wasn't keeping it a secret.
I'm not saying that, but you've always been so open. That's why I'm shocked I never knew.
Not standing up to him is one of my biggest regrets.
You shouldn't regret that.
I was 18 and still didn't say anything.
You shouldn't have to.
I always had this preconceived notion that family couldn't hurt you. Not really. And I always felt that the way he treated me and my mom was normal. I never had a lot of friends until high school. Then I would have sleepovers at friends' houses and see their families. And they all seemed so pleasant. At first, I thought it was only because they had guests over. But no. I even asked my friend Karen one time, and she said her father never treated her like that. So that's when my eyes started opening.
That is so fucked up.
Honestly, not only was I upset with myself, I resented my mom for a long time. Even after they split, I was so angry at her for letting him treat us so poorly. I feel I still hold resentment, too. Even now, I think to myself, all I want to do is reach Scott. That's the most important thing to me. Reaching Scott. And I wonder if that makes me a bad person. That I'm not thinking of my mom as much. I can't imagine what she thinks of all this happening. I'm sure she's worried about me. And yet, Scott's all I really care about. Does that make me a bad person?
No.
I remember nights when she would just stand by while my father beat me, and I fucking hated her for it. And after I moved out, I tried to find forgiveness. I mean, she was scared too. Scared if she said anything, he would maybe hit her or hit me worse, but she was naive.
You saying this is actually making me angry.
Always so protective.
I've met your mom, and I get along with your mom. But she should have taken you out of that situation. The emotional strain that could put on a child is just heart-wrenching.
I think I turned out okay, though.
Not saying you didn't.
No, no, no. I know that.
You eventually forgave her, though?
I had to. For my sake and for hers. After they split, she had no one. She lost a lot of her friends during her relationship.
I'm really sorry you went through that.
I know you are, Mark. But now you know why I didn't shoot Ben. I couldn't imagine what that would do to Melissa. It wasn't their fault that their father was crazy.
I know, Ava. I think you made the right decision.
I don't know if that's true.
We made it out. That's all that matters. We're now that much closer to Scott.
I smiled. I loved Mark. We may not always see eye to eye, but he really did care about me. And I cared about him. I thought about that night in San Francisco, after we had gone to a Clean Ocean Action rally. We had both gotten pretty drunk that night, and we made it back to the hotel. Mark had kissed me. I always knew he liked me, but that was the first time he actually made a move. Although I did care for him, too, I did quickly put a stop to it. The rally was a month after I had met Scott, and I didn't want to ruin my relationship with him. I told Mark that. It was hard to see how hurt he was. We never talked about that night after it happened. The sun had disappeared over the horizon, giving the sky an orange glow. We had almost filled one jug with clean water. We had one more empty jug to fill. I went back to the river to get some more. In the distance, I heard an explosion. Mark! Mark hobbled his way down to the river with his gun drawn.
What is it?
You hear that?
I do.
We walked the steep incline of the bridge. I helped Mark up. In the distance, a huge ship loomed.
Holy shit.
We saw tanks and jeeps heading for it. It was far away, so it was hard to see if they were actually damaging the thing.
Look, look!
The front of the ship glowed a bright blue as it slowly moved toward the armored vehicles. The blue light became white. A strange beam shot out and lasered one of the tanks, causing it to explode. Oh my God. The war continued. Tanks and vehicles exploded. Mortars flew through the air, hitting the large ship, but it didn't stop moving.
Well, the fight continues. Maybe we should find another spot.
It's far away, and the ship is moving north.
Yeah, but still.
Okay.
Let's go.
We quickly packed our things. I used the pocket knife to make a carving in the top of the water jug I carried. That way we would know to boil it later.
Let's find somewhere safer.
We drove in the dark for about 30 minutes. We left the warfare behind us. When we found a small plot of land behind some brush, Mark parked the truck.
Do you want to take the first watch?
Yeah, I will. Mark and I switched seats. I left the keys in the ignition and watched Mark get comfortable.
The broken window adds a nice breeze, but it makes me a little uneasy.
I smirked as Mark rested against the door and closed his eyes.
Wake me if you get tired, okay?
I will. Good night.
Night.
It had to be pretty late. I wish I had something to read, something to look at to help me pass the time. Nights were hard because I was alone with my thoughts. Sometimes I would think about seeing Scott again, and other times I would dwell on scary situations we may face. What would I do if Scott wasn't there? I got goosebumps, but quickly rubbed them away. Mark was mumbling in his sleep. That was odd. He never did that before.
No.
I slightly brushed his hair and noticed how long his beard was. I had gotten him razors, but he had yet to shave. Maybe he liked it. It was a different look for him. He looked handsome. Never thought he could pull off the rugged type.
No.
I was happy to not be alone. Mark had really been there for me, the whole time. As I continued to glide my fingers along his face and neck in an effort to calm him, the darker thoughts started to enter my mind again. I miss Jay. We were a team. We were friends. I often thought, what would have happened if we went back for him? Is he still alive? I hated thinking about him alone in the woods back in New York, trying to survive. Oh, shit. What was that? Please be a deer. Please just be an animal. Oh, shit. The moon provided little light behind the gray clouds, but there was no mistaking what was walking out of the woods. A thrasher. It walked on all fours in front of our truck. It didn't notice us sitting in the non-moving vehicle. It slowly crawled its way across the open area. It was having a hard time walking. It was injured. It didn't acknowledge our existence. It slowly limped. I couldn't move. I needed to warn Mark. We needed to get the hell out of here. But instead, I just watched the creature make its way across the brush. It disappeared from view. Shit. Mark, get up.
What?
Shh. Mark was sitting at attention. He quickly held the revolver up, ready.
What is it?
Thrasher. Just walked across.
Where?
Over there, in the woods.
Just one?
That's all I saw. It looked injured. We sat in silence a moment.
I don't hear anything, but let's get the hell out of here.
I nodded and turned the key. The truck started up. I was about to put it in gear when it just shut off. Smoke billowed from the hood.
What the hell?
What happened? I tried starting the truck again, but nothing. Just more smoke. Mark.
Fuck.
Mark and I spun in our seats with the flashlights, trying to see where the creature was approaching from, but it never showed.
Where is it?
I don't see anything.
We don't have a lot of ammo, Ava.
Mark, look. The creature stumbled out of the brush and rolled onto its side.
What's it doing?
I told you, it looked injured. The thrasher didn't move, but we continued to check our surroundings. No other thrashers came. What do we do?
Stay here.
Mark! But he opened the door and stepped out. He surveyed the surrounding forest with the flashlight. Well?
I don't see anything, but stay here.
Yeah, okay. I grabbed the tire iron and pocket knife. Lame weapons for sure, but I climbed out.
Ava, stop!
I walked around to Mark. The truck is done. We have to get out of here.
I know. Hold on.
I followed Mark as he slowly hobbled towards the fallen thrasher. When we reached the creature, its eyes were white, its tongue limp. It was still breathing, but the breaths came slower and slower. I noticed several bullet holes in its side.
It was shot.
I see that. I continued to watch our surroundings while Mark had his gun on the creature.
Look at its leg.
On the inside thigh, I could see a bit of a blue orb. It glowed brightly.
That's what fucked up our truck.
I don't get it. We had run-ins with these things before, like outside the motel. It didn't stall our truck then.
Maybe it only goes off on certain times.
Like on a timer? Mark shrugged. The thrasher took another breath of air, and then that was it. It appeared to be dead, but we didn't dare examine further, and we didn't waste a bullet putting it out of its misery. Oh, shit.
There are more. Figures.
Mark, we need to find a safe place.
I know. Let's get the backpacks, cram as many supplies as we can carry, and let's get the hell out of here.
Where are we gonna go?
I have no idea.
End of All Hope. Written by Robert M. Lamb. Edited by Issa Yazdizadeh. Starring Hope Ennis as Ava, Nick Engelhardt as Mark, Adam Jetmore as Jay, Jack Austin as Ambridge, Jody Swenson as Stephanie, Catabelle as Madison, Krista Tolle as Teddy, Ariel Hack as Mia, Gina Coyle as Kylie, Brett Wilkins as Travis, Gareth Thomas as Sammy, and Crystal Hall as Lane. Music provided by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com, Eldritch T'Challa of Nemesis Black at ReverbNation.com/Nemesis Black, and Amberlynn Nicole at YouTube.com/Amberlynn Nicole. If you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to rate and review. Visit www.7lam.com for other audio dramas such as this one. This has been a 7lam production.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.